former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hour two of the Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM, back and better than ever. And Michael Lombardi is back in studio in Las Vegas.
Nice to be in Vegas. Yes, it really is. Nice to be out of the frigid cold that's going on back there. So I'm happy to hear that from Will Hill. I didn't get any snow, so it's good to be here, Pat.
What was the best part of the road trip?
I think the best part of the road trip was I stopped at the Clinton. I love presidential libraries, so I got a chance to stop at the – I was in Little Rock. We were driving through Little Rock, got to stop at the Clinton Library, which is something I've always wanted to do, which was – really impressive. He modeled it after an Oxford library where he went to school there. So it was, you know, great to see, you know, all the things. And he had a replica, a White House office, his office in the White House's replica there. And then of course the cabinet room. So that was fun. I think that as the terrain changes through the country and just seeing everything, it was interesting, and we didn't get any bad weather. So that was the best part. So and then seeing all the different people and how everyone lives, it's kind of a humbling experience as you go through it.
That's awesome. And, like, not everybody gets the opportunity. Like, when I did a cross-country road trip, I was just moving.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to get there as soon as possible. So I didn't get to do the stopping and smell the roses and enjoy stuff. So I think that's great that you got to make your mark in different places.
And when I head back, I'm going to take I've never been to Mount Rushmore, which I think I want to try to see if I can go that way and try to see things along the way as you go, because – if not now, when, right? You know, and so if you're driving and you're trying to get across the country and you can take in some history or see some things that I've been to South Dakota, but I've never been to Black Hawk. I've never been out there. So I think those are kind of things you want to do. And if you can hit and learn something as you go, it's even better. So I really enjoyed it. It didn't feel like an overwhelming, because I wasn't in a rush to get somewhere. I knew I had to be here by Tuesday to see you.
Obviously, because I keep on telling everybody, Michael Lombardi must have just like smelled me through the Skype after the first show we did together 2 weeks ago, that he did one show and he's like, I'm out of here. Can't handle this.
I felt so bad about that, but I had no idea VSiN was changing the schedule or doing any of that when this whole month of March came up.
When you had it all booked.
Yeah. I was like, oh my gosh, I feel so bad. I feel like I'm running out on you. Like I've abandoned you, but no, I'm here for good now.
Yeah.
So I'm not going anywhere.
Happy to. One last thing on your road trip. Go to like road trip snack that you have to have in the car.
You know, that's trail mix is always good. Some kind of trail mix that works really well. And you know what's interesting? The choices of lunch menus, you know, like as you're driving, because I didn't want to stop for lunch because I had dogs in the car. You know, I would say, and I'm going to have to check with Maddie Humans on this, but Chick-fil-A is the winner across the country by far.
You don't have to worry about is the line not too long? Or are you able to get good lines? Because you're eating at different times than normal, right?
You are. But I think to me, you got to take the dogs to go to the bathroom. Okay. So that gives you some time to let them walk around and stretch their legs, because they're driving across the country too. And so that gives you enough time. I think we were in Tennessee at the one Chick-fil-A. It was packed. And they had two lines going through. I mean, it almost made me want to invest in a Chick-fil-A. Like, I'm thinking, like, could I buy a Chick-fil-A in Ocean City, New Jersey? That might work really well.
That's awesome.
Like, I'm thinking, like, that, you know, like, you see all the trucks driving across. You're, like, thinking, you call your broker up and say, you know, we might want to invest in this trucking company.
This Chick-fil-A thing, they know what they're doing over here.
I think it's pretty good. I think it's pretty good.
When I'm on the road, my big thing is I always try to eat things I don't normally eat.
Right.
So for whatever reason, and it's probably not good for just the interior upholstery of my vehicle, but I love hot Cheetos on a road trip.
Wow.
And it's something that I never eat in day-to-day life. It's not like a snack I have in my house, but when I am on the road, get me some hot Cheetos in the car. Let's go.
Yeah. I'm not a fast food guy ever. I never stop. I'm not Maddie Humans. I don't have a bunch of bags in the back of my car, but you know, when you're on that trip, you have very few options. Like, I'm not going to do the China buffet. Like, so you can't do that. And so, you know, but I would say that the winner across is by far Chick-fil-A. Easy.
Okay. When it comes to the past 24 hours of this NFL, not quite free agency, but it really is, period, who has been the biggest winner?
Yeah, that's a great question. I got asked that on the DraftKings show today. You know, I think the Niners, I really do. I love because they have a really good team. And they strengthened their defense with Hargrave, who was a dominant player for the Eagles last year. And then their D-line coach is tremendous, and he raises players' level of play. You know, they get Curry Hyder. They get all these guys that kind of bounce around, Jordan Willis, and they end up playing really well for him. And then I thought the signing of Sam Darnold, not that I think Sam Darnold's going to win games, you know, win a Super Bowl for him, but he gives them a veteran guy that fits what they do. He's athletic. He can make every throw on the field. you know, and he fits what Kyle wants to do offensively. So those two moves to me, you say, well, what are they going to do without McGlinchey? They'll replace McGlinchey. It's like they replaced Tomlinson who went to the Jets last year. So I don't think that's the issue. I think they really, to me, when you have a good team and you strengthen your team, I think it's pretty impressive. I thought they would sign Cooper Rush as the backup. I thought he was a fit for them. But now when I see that what they did with Darnold, I like that even better.
Well, and honestly, just because of the pieces that the 49ers have on offense in general, like, it's hard for somebody not to really be a fit. Kyle Shanahan has a way of making anyone really work.
Right. And so what he does...
could be a good career resurgence for him.
It could be, because what he does is he makes it the easy to play quarterback. We saw what Brock Purdy was able to do. You know, people kept... But Brock Purdy did in his starts was what people that were betting Trey Lance to be the MVP thought he could do, and he never could do it. That's why they signed Garoppolo after the Houston preseason game. So, look, I don't rule it out. They're a good team, and they're still a good team. Whereas Philadelphia is trying to piece together their team right now. You know, they lose. You know, they lose a lot of defensive guys, offensive line. You know, they haven't lost the right guard yet, but perhaps he's going to go somewhere today or tomorrow. The offensive line will sort itself out somewhere today. But the Eagles have to kind of piece it together. Plus, they know they have to sign Hurts to an extension. So you got to hold on to that, too. Now, they have two number ones in the draft, which helps. You got to kind of – one thing about free agency, you've got to marry your draft to what you want to think. So if you're a team and you're going to spend – and you're picking in the middle rounds and you want to draft, and you know in the middle rounds you're going to get maybe a corner, maybe a – you know, maybe a tight end, because this is a really good tight end market in the draft. You know, do you sign a tight end in free agency, or – do you get that in the draft and sign another position, which you can't? Like, there's no real, this draft is not very loaded with offensive linemen. So you have to. So a guy like Andre Dillard, who played 27 plays last year for the Eagles, first round pick from Washington State, you know, you have to go back and watch preseason tape against him. I mean, he got $10 million a year to go to Tennessee, because that's how desperate teams are for offensive linemen.
Okay, so if the 49ers are your biggest winner, anybody who you were like, what the heck are you guys doing? Why? Why would you do that?
You know, I like Nick, and I just wonder what Houston does all the time. I mean, like, you sign, what are you signing Case Keenum for? You sign Robert Woods. Now you sign Noah Brown. You know, they're talking about trading Tunsil to Kansas City. So Kansas City could have Jawan Taylor at left tackle, and they could sign Tunsil at right tackle, or maybe they'll flip them both. Maybe they'll put Taylor. But what are they going to do? Their offensive line is bad. Now, I know Tunsil didn't play well for them last year, but I don't know where they're going. I never get a sense of what is the plan in Houston. I haven't been able to get a read on that. Really,
I don't even know if Houston knows at this point.
That's kind of what I say. I mean, they sign these receivers. None of them are game breakers. None of them are challenging. You know, what's Robert Woods going to do, or Noah Brown? Like, who's your number one receiver? I guess it's Brandon Cooks. Who's playing quarterback? You're signing Case Keenum for that? You had Davis Mills. Are you going to cut him? I don't get a sense of what they're doing. You know, look, I know they defensively, you know, they signed the 49ers safety, and, you know, they get that for D'Amico Ryans, but I don't get a sense I have a really good plan from them.
I feel like Houston is a team that just over the last couple years in general, they can't do anything right. Like, nothing seems to be falling for them.
Yeah, I just don't know their plan. I don't agree with what Sean Payton did in terms of players. Like, I don't think McGlinchey's worth that contract, or Powers is worth that deal. However, I like the strategy. Rebuild the offensive line. I get that, right? Now, Sean will lose his mind, you know, when Bowles has 15 holding penalties at left tackle. But, I mean, to me, I appreciate their strategy. That's what I'm looking at, is what we can disagree on the player. It's what's the strategy that you're implementing. That's what I don't get with Houston. I don't see that there.
Well, and like you said, though, at least Denver's trying, and we know how much Russell Wilson was sacked last year, and we know the issues that he's had there, and a lot of teams try to help their quarterback out by giving them wide receiver, by giving them X, Y, and Z, and like, forget that up front is probably where the pieces are.
Right, and you could have, if you want Cortland Sutton, just make him an offer. They'll trade you Cortland Sutton. I don't know what they want for him, but he's at $14 million a year, so if you want a receiver, you can have him. I'll tell you the other guy you can have Jerry Jeudy if you want him. Yeah, all you have to do is call him up and say, Jerry Judy's going to be in his, you know, he's going into his fourth year. They're probably not going to pick up his fifth year. So if you want Jerry Jeudy, you could make a trade for him at any point at any time during the year. So I think what Sean's trying to do is re-energize his team with the fronts, offensively and defensively. And I think that's going to see if they can do it. Now, they lose the defensive tackle to Seattle, which is a huge loss for them. He played really well. But they're going to try to repair their team. But one thing about Denver, they don't have draft picks, so they have to spend money in free agency.
Do you think that he is going to be what rejuvenates this franchise? Because last year there was so much optimism going into week one, and it was just awful.
Yeah, I do think, you know, he has a plan. He's a really good play caller. He's a great play designer. I think they'll get themselves back on track. Are they as good as we think they are on defense? That remains to be seen. You know, especially considering, you know, they don't have that elite rusher. You know, not that Chubb was an elite rusher, but I think to me, they've got to find a way to piece this all together.
Last minute here. Why do you think today has been such a slow day?
Anytime it's slow is that the agents aren't getting the number that they thought they could get. The market's depressed. So when the market's depressed, they're trying to shop a deal. They're trying to go and find a deal. I don't think, like Jacoby Myers at $33 million for 3 years, if that's the actual deal, you know, he was thinking he was going to get 14, 15. Mm-hmm. You know, he turned down 9 from the Patriots last offseason, you know, and so he got 11. Was that really worth it? I don't know. And did he get a hard 11 or did he get a soft 11? That remains to be seen. I think the market's softer now than I think. These running backs, you know, Madison, the running back for the Vikings, he's looking for a chance to start somewhere. He hasn't signed a contract. Morsett just signed for $7 million over 2. That's kind of a low deal. So we're not seeing the market. There's not a lot of money flowing today that I think people thought it would.
Yeah, and even receivers, like you mentioned Myers there, but just him and Alan Lazard, largely the names that we've even heard mentioned, period.
When it's slow, the agents aren't getting their deal.
Okay. We're going to take a quick timeout. When we come back, Thomas Gable, director of the Race and Sportsbook at the Borgata, is going to join us, give us a little bit of perspective from behind the counter. Don't go anywhere. This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com and check out the current betting splits data. Want to know where the money and bets are moving for every game? The betting splits page is updated with odds every 10 minutes. You can see changes in action, find out where the public's betting based on the number of tickets, and where the money doesn't match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits, another way VSiN's here to make you a more informed, better year-round. You can check out today's betting splits for every game at VSiN.com alongside Michael Lombardi. I'm Stormy Bonantoni, and for as much as we love our betting splits page, we have a man who can tell us where the money is going, and he's looking at the screens day in and day out.
I miss my man.
Here we go. Thomas Gable, director of the Race and Sportsbook at the Borgata, joins us now. Thomas, you just can't get rid of me, can you?
I know. I know I'm normally not on Tuesdays, but with Michael's big return to the show, I'm happy to join. Michael, you're missing some great weather in the Garden State.
I heard that from your man Bill Berman. He told me it's wonderful there. He's got a part. He's got a table right there. He's gonna, you know, make all the bets for you there at the Borgata. I miss it there, TG. I miss all my guys there at the Borgata. I hope all is well. But I'm sure you got it nailed down. And look, the Eagles have signed Kelce back, so everything's going to be fine. I'm sure the city has calmed down after that, right? And I'm sure you increased their betting odds to win the Super Bowl next year tremendously once they sign Kelce back.
Well, there's definitely some panic with obviously some of the guys that are going elsewhere. Kelce, I think, alleviated that a little bit by saying that he's going to return for another year. But, there's definitely some panic, I think, starting to set in there.
Yeah.
I know,
and they still have to re-sign Hurts, obviously, too.
Oh, and not to interrupt, Stormy, but we haven't talked in a couple of weeks because I've been traveling. But and how much of those 76ers finals tickets are you selling to that now? I mean, getting to the title game.
Well, Sixers are our most popular play to win the NBA title here, so we're in bad shape if they happen to win the championship.
Are they all in? Are they classic Philly all in now? I mean, I know he hit the shot against the.
Has the process worked?
Yeah,
is that what's happening?
Yeah, they love the process. You can't convince them the process isn't good.
And Boston has not looked good recently, so I think Sixers fans are maybe a little bit more optimistic here over the last week or two.
Thomas, I told Michael earlier in the show, I was like, hey, the Celtics are kind of crumbling here, opening the door for your Sixers. And he's like, oh, they'll be out in the first round no matter what. That's not good for them.
I think if they move up, they're at 3 right now, and 3 would play 6. So if they play, well, that's the Knicks. But if they have to face the Heat, TG, I don't know. You know how that goes when they face the Heat. You know how that always usually ends up. They beat the Heat without Embiid this year.
That is true. That is true. Now, but I will say, though, the division, though, is, again, with the late stumblings here by the Celtics, Philadelphia is only one game back there in the division. So they could potentially overtake them for the two seed.
Yeah, and not to change subjects again, but have you been advising Georgetown on their next hire? I'm sure that they've consulted you. They have to.
Listen, my sole advice would be Rick Pitino. But as far as I understand, the administration is not on board with that whatsoever, even though some of the deep-pocketed donors are. It seems like Cooley is their guy that they're going to kind of throw the bag of money at and hopefully lure away from Providence. But we'll see. I mean, Shrewsbury's name came up last weekend, but, you know, he obviously has Penn State playing well, so who knows what his asking price would be or if he's, he would even be willing to walk away from Penn State. But from everything I'm hearing right now, it looks like the offer is going to go to Cooley first.
Got it. And that means Pitino ends up at St. John's?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
This time of year, Thomas, I mean, this week is obviously so hectic with March Madness getting underway and NFL free agency and then the NBA. These games are just more and more important as you get closer to the postseason. How much does everything take a seat to the NCAA tournament, or do you still see action like on people reacting to some of these moves in the NFL?
You see, I mean, the NFL is kind of the unicorn, right, when it comes to betting. So it's the league that, while we're technically in the off season of the NFL, does the NFL really ever have an off season? Not really, because the betting just continues in terms of the futures and the draft upcoming. So people are always interested in the NFL. So yeah, I mean, you'll see people, and of course the big story within the last month, really since the Super Bowl ended, has been, you know, where is Aaron Rodgers going? And you've seen the movement there in the Jets futures price for both the Super Bowl and the AFC, and they're by far the most popular play here. You know, we probably have written more on the Jets, more tickets on them, I know, than any other team on the board, and the same with the AFC. I think we probably wrote more on them to win the AFC than all the other AFC teams combined. So it's just everybody seems to be all in on the Jets here. And at this point, with the way that the odds are, even if they get Rodgers, I'm still not sure it makes a whole lot of sense to be betting them at the price that they're currently at.
You know, one of the moves, the teams that I think has been so desperate, and you can see their behavior with trading for Ramsey and spending the money that they've spent. I thought David Long was a good signing for Miami. I'm surprised their number hasn't moved at all. Is that the uncertainty of Tua at quarterback, do you think?
Yeah, I think a lot of it is the uncertainty of what's going to happen there with the quarterback position.
Yeah, it's hard to bet them, you know, Stormy. It's hard to bet them because they do have a good team. You know, and they've restructured it. He's put, you know, Stephen Ross has put a ton of money into it. And, you know, having Xavier Howard as a high-priced corner and then having Ramsey as a high-priced corner, and they're going to play Vic Fangio's scheme, which obviously will help them. But to me, the uncertainty at the quarterback lends you to think, oh, my gosh. And now Mike White, to me, getting that contract he got from them, to me, tells you that that was the guy they wanted. And if they have to roll the dice with Mike White, they will.
Incredible opportunity he has should Tua have to deal with, whether it's a concussion or any other injury. It'll be interesting to see how that plays out. Thomas, I want to get to a little bit of college basketball, though, here, because the first four in Dayton, Ohio, does get underway tonight with two games. And from your side of the counter, just where is the money going in these ones so far?
So the first game, Texas A&M, Corpus Christi, against Missouri, the Southeast Missouri State there. Pretty evenly bet game here tonight. Certainly the later game, Mississippi State-Pittsburgh, I think is going to be a little bit more of an attraction to bet on for bettors. It's just there's the A&M Corpus Christi and Southeast Missouri State, not really, they don't resonate with the betting public as much as Mississippi State and Pitt. And so that game, the later game, is certainly taking more action there than the early game. And the other playing games for tomorrow, I mean, the one is off the board here because You know, we can't take that Texas Southern Fairleigh Dickinson game in New Jersey because it's a Jersey school, so that eliminates that one for us. So, you know, I get to the point where it's like if a New Jersey school doesn't make it, like Rutgers, it's a good thing for us because it's one less game then that we can't offer. So it's I was actually not that I dislike Rutgers, but I was happy that they did not make it into the
even
tournament.
Though they got dogged, though. They should be in and not Nevada. Yeah. I think everybody pretty across the board believes that.
You know, it's
I think
go
so.
Ahead, TJ.
I think so. No, I think Stormy's right on that. And, you know, a lot of people have been down about Nevada. And, you know, recent form, I mean, you've seen the move here with that Arizona State-Nevada game for tomorrow night. Arizona State's now 2.5-point favorite in that. And, you know, when you just go by recent form, you can see why people are betting Arizona State. You know, 2.5, maybe it's a layoff for me, but where that opened, Arizona State opened a 1-point favorite. So they've been bet up, and I don't think there's any secret as to why. I mean, Nevada has not looked good recently. So, yeah, I mean, I agree that Rutgers, you know, probably should have been that team in that game.
Yeah, they should have. I mean, their defense alone, to me, would be some – they would give teams trouble just the way they play defense, as hard as they play. Obviously, they're not an effective offensive team. And, look, give Steve Alford credit. I mean, you know, he took over Musselman, and that program's kind of – he got it back a little bit going, not to the level that Musselman had it at yet.
Hey, before we let you go, TG, just one last thing. If there was another game that so far over the last, you know, 24, 48 hours has had a significant move, what is it? What should bettors know?
Well, most of the moves come, you know, Sunday night, Monday morning. So today's kind of been a quiet day in terms of line movement for the games. I mean, we talked a little bit yesterday about the ones that we saw. You know, Boise State opened a 1-point favorite. Now Northwestern is a 1.5-point favorite in that one. Colgate was a 15-point dog. That's now 13.5. West Virginia opened 1.5-point favorite. They're now laying 2.5. And Iona also was taking some money. They opened 10-point favorite. Now they're down to 9.
You're awesome. Thanks for doing this.
Thanks, TG. Appreciate you.
Stay warm, TG. Will do.
That's Thomas Gable of the Borgata. Awesome stuff. And to his point about Nevada not being in good form, dropped 3 straight games coming into the NCAA tournament. They got swept by UNLV this season. It is not what you would expect of a team as their current form coming into the dance. We're going to take a quick break. Be right back here on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today and get everything you need to bet the madness this year for just $19. Whether you're filling out a bracket or betting against the spread, our team's here to get you ready for every game and every round of the tournament. Only VSiN Pro subscribers get unlimited access to our daily best bets, tools like our exclusive betting splits, plus the Big Dance Bracket and Betting Guide. These guides have in-depth breakdowns of all 68 teams, Cinderella picks, and picks on every single game from our VSiN experts, including Brent Musburger and Greg Hoops Peterson. Sign up today to get the betting guides, plus full access to VSiN through the end of the tournament for only $19 at VSiN.com/subscribe. Really good content in there, and the action, of course, getting underway later on this evening with the first four. And so, Michael, I have been...
Yeah.
Over the last 24 hours.
Okay.
Scrolling and refreshing Twitter constantly.
Like Jet fans?
Exactly. Exactly. Like exactly. All in the hopes that we get some sort of news about Aaron Rodgers, and all we're getting are like these little breadcrumbs, but not the actual announcement, the actual news. However, as I am scrolling over the last couple of commercial breaks, what I do come across is Lamar Jackson tweeting, which has been a little bit interesting. He quote tweeted with a video of a face like one of these, like, what you talking about kind of faces, to a report from like a Baltimore beat, you know, Twitter or whatever, said Lamar Jackson turned down $200 million guaranteed back in September. So he does the what you talking about face and then adds another tweet that says 133, 3 years, fully guaranteed, but I need an agent.
Well, if he didn't take it, then he might need an agent because he didn't think that's enough money.
That was my thought. I'm like, well, if you asked for more and you didn't get that, then isn't that the definition of you needing an agent?
Like, yeah, I think to me, it's like, I don't understand it. If you got 133 and you turned it down, the fact that it's 3 years, right? So every contract's about length and about guarantee. Okay. So the more length you go in a contract, the more guaranteed you should get, because you're giving away years in your prime. This kid at 3 years, he's going to be back in the market again.
Mm-hmm.
He puts 133. So if they offered him 133 for three, he probably could get it up to 145 for three. So, you know, that's a fairly significant number, fully guaranteed. You put that in the bank, and now you come back and you have another bite of the apple again. And then you could do a five-year deal at that point. So to me, if I were his agent, I would say, look, I love this concept of a fully guaranteed three-year deal. It's good. Let's get this up to 145, which would be slightly less than 50 a year. And we're fully guaranteed in it. And we can go on from there. And we have another contract coming up. Because when you do a three-year deal, when you're in that second year of a contract, you know, they're going to have to redo you. They're going to have to do something. And these cap numbers, if it's fully guaranteed, are not going to be pliable. So they're going to have to come to you and try to restructure, which gives you the Kirk Cousins leverage mm-hmm. that you need. Like the Vikings, they would have gotten rid of Cousins. They can't. So what do they do today? They redid his contract again. So they keep pouring good money into bad money on Cousins, even though they know Cousins isn't what they want. This is the kind of that benefits the player tremendously.
So I'm trying to figure out with Lamar Jackson, if this deal is the one that he turned down in September, you've had all of this time since then to kind of be trying to figure out what that deal is going to be, and they still aren't able to come to an agreement. What is he looking for? Like, what does he want? Because I'm sure he, you know, countered with either more money or more time, whatever it is.
I'm sure he wants over 50 a year, and he wants it all guaranteed. So I think if he wanted this deal, it would have to be, you know, 155, 160 for three. You
and
know,
that so,
gets him over it. I don't know if that's what he wants, but he wants the 250 guaranteed that Deshaun Watson got. That we know. But Deshaun got 5 years.
Right.
I mean, if you get 3 years at 150 guaranteed, that's a better deal because you're coming back again at the table. You're having another bite of the apple for more years at a fresh market. Because, you know, once this deal gets done, you're going to see the Burrow deal come in here, right? You're going to see the Herbert deal come in mm-hmm. here. That elevates the market. You could see a Tua deal if Miami is crazy enough to spend all this kind of money, right? So you're going to see these deals that water seeks its level and it continues to rise. So I think that's what, to me, I do think he needs an agent. I think the whole reason he went 32nd in the draft was he didn't have an agent. I think the whole reason he's not a pliable trade commodity, because you're talking about a guy, if you put him on the Atlanta Falcons in Arthur Smith's offense, they're really good. They're a legitimate, not that they're good enough defensively, but they're a good team. You know, you put him on some of these other, you put him on the Colts, are they a good team? You know, I would think they would be way better than what they're going to do in the draft. So, but how do you make that deal? It's hard if you don't have an agent.
And during this time, you know, the new league year officially begins tomorrow, but teams have been able to talk and kind of construct deals over the last 2 days. Because he doesn't have representation, technically couldn't be talked to over the last couple days, but his mom, his mom?
You can call mama. And, you know, look, there's that, what's that song? I always love my mama, but your mama, maybe she should be involved, but this isn't her area of expertise on how to maneuver around. Because remember, it's going to take three people to make this deal. It's going to take a team that's trading for him. It's going to take the Ravens and it's going to take the agent. And you've got to kind of orchestrate that. Look how long it's taking for Aaron Rodgers. Mm-hmm. Even though we know Rodgers is going to end up at the Jets, they've got to navigate the cap. They've got to settle Green Bay's trade demands. They've got to figure out how to structure the contract so it fits into the Jets cap. There's a lot of moving pieces here that have to get negotiated and have to get signed off in terms of legal lease terminology. So it's a challenge. Look, I think his mom should be involved. I just don't think she should be the lead negotiator.
Since this is your first day back and we haven't gotten the opportunity to talk about a lot of this stuff with Lamar Jackson together, what did you think when the Ravens did say, okay, we're going to non-exclusive tag you, we're going to let the market dictate what you're worth since you're not accepting our deal? And, I mean, they've tried. They've been very outward about saying, we want to have you back. Do you believe that? Like, do you agree with the way that they did this?
They have to say that publicly, but I think what they said by that tender is they saved themselves $13 million, and they basically said to the NFL, call us if you're interested. See, because that two number ones isn't necessarily what the price is. It could be 1-1. You could say to Baltimore, look, we're going to sign them, and we'll give you a one and something else. And Baltimore says, well, you know, we won't take that deal. Okay, don't take that deal then. He's going to play for you on the tender. Where are you going there? They're locked. They had to cut Calais Campbell yesterday. They're locked in because of this huge cap number that they're carrying on their team. It's very prohibitive. So they have to work around it. they're basically saying to teams, call us. Mm-hmm. The reason they didn't put the exclusive on is that why give away $13 million when you don't have to? Why give away, make it 45 or $43 million, whatever the number is, when I don't have to do that? I'll just give them the 32, and if somebody wants to trade for them, they got to deal with us anyway. The only way you get hurt in this is if you get a surprise attack, which in quarterbacks, there's never going to be a surprise attack. You're just never going to just put an offer sheet in. This is, requires two number ones to get them. So that's the opening volvo of the negotiations, and you can negotiate up or down from there.
A report coming in as we speak from Diana Russini of ESPN says Aaron Rodgers has provided the Jets with a wish list of free agents that he would like them to target and acquire. Shocker, because
I said that 2 weeks ago. I don't know how this is news.
So
how is this news today? I mean, like, we said it on the GM Shuffle. Like, he's GM too here. He's going to play a part of it. See, and this is what affects. Like I said, Aaron Rodgers is a great player. He's just not a great teammate. You know, like, and this whole, we have to build a team. This is Russell Wilson-ish. Is he going to want an office in there too? Like, I've seen him make other players great. Like, I don't know why he is so in love with having this wish list. And obviously the Jets are acquiescing to it because that's why they're on Lazard. Jets are good at receiver.
The list are Lazard, Randall Cobb, Mercedes Lewis, and Odell Beckham Jr. Those were the four names that he presented to the Jets on his wish list.
Right, which is an interesting. We have not heard Odell name mentioned very much because nobody knows about the medical. And everybody remembers Odell from 3 years ago, 4 years ago, 5 years ago. But where is Odell now? I mean, look, the Jets, do they okay, so my question to you would be, all right, you want us to sign all those guys. How much money are you giving us on the deal? You want to pay for $20 million?
Well, because that's why Tom Brady was able to have all the success, right? He always did team-friendly deals so that other people could get paid so that they could have success around him. Aaron Rodgers didn't do that.
No, I want these guys, but I want my cash too. I don't know how it works. To me, this has got all the symptoms of not working. Like, this doesn't work. Like, Randall Cobb shouldn't play football any longer. He's not good enough to play. Like, he's not good enough to make a team. He's smart. Yeah, he knows what to do. Great. He's what I call a bus player. You know what a bus player is? So when you get on the team bus, somebody's got to get the bus to the stadium. Well, there's certain players that know where the stadium is. They tell the bus driver. But once they get to the stadium, they can't do a thing. Like, they don't help you win. They get the team to the stadium, but they can't. I wrote about it in Gridiron Genius. They're a bus driver player. He's a bus player. And Mercedes Lewis is a good on-the-line blocking tight end. If that's what they want to do, they just signed CJ CJ from the Bengals last year. Uzama. You know, they got money in him. They redid his contract. So what are you going to do with him? You're going to sign Mercedes to take him off the field? Oh, we want Lazard too? So where does Elijah Moore go? Where does, you know, where do all these other receivers we have? I mean, to me, like, this is not what you want to do. If you want him to come in and say, I want to play for you guys and I'll make you better.
Well, and it's, obviously, like, you're not going to want a player like him to come to your organization if he's not happy, right? Because that's a big factor in all this.
Yeah, but the more you have to recruit a player, you then have to de-recruit him. You know, like, it's the same thing with Russell. You know, here's what he wants. Here's his demands. I mean, we're not – it's like the ransom letter from Kyler Murray. How'd that work out?
Oh, this whole thing is just hysterical
to
me.
That's the best.
It's like it's reality television unfolding in sports. Okay, we have to take a quick break. That music is like the Oscars telling me to shut up. But we will be back in a couple of minutes. Don't go anywhere.
You have a red carpet, though.
Oh, if only.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like bonus bets and bet insurance tokens. Planning a trip to Vegas, you can also convert your BetMGM points to rewards points that you can use toward dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Resorts properties located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. Sign up with BetMGM or log on today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire in 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. And I bet you didn't know I could talk that fast, Michael.
Well, you're quick. I'll tell you what, that's impressive. Yeah, are they paying you by the word? I mean, it's holy hell, that's good.
If only. Got to crank them out. Awesome.
I love it. That's awesome.
Welcome back to the Lombardi Line, live from Circa Resort and Casino. Having a lot of fun rolling along here, especially with just the moving target that is the NFL this week.
I didn't get a chance. You asked me all the questions. I don't get a chance to ask you all the questions. So, So who's in your Final Four? Have you done it?
Yes. Okay. So before we get to that, actually, how many brackets is acceptable to make? Because I am a firm believer you make one.
You make one. I mean, either you're all in or you're not. One wrong, all wrong.
Yes.
I mean, that's a Parcells line. One wrong, all wrong. Either you're in or you're not.
I hate when a team wins the national championship and someone goes, oh, I had Duke. I had them winning it all. And I'm like, oh, you did? Yeah, in one of your five brackets. That doesn't count, okay? You just pick your one, and that's what it is. So, yes, my Final Four is I have Texas, Gonzaga, Marquette, and Alabama.
Nice. I like it.
So I went against myself here, Michael, because we talked on the show a couple weeks ago about like my perspective on Alabama and how all of the off the court stuff isn't going to go away. Yet Alabama just continues to play so well and they're at their best right now. And it's blowing my mind that I actually think that they might win it all.
You know, it'd be interesting if they did. I mean, what Oates has kind of put himself into, because it's a lot of self-inflicted with his commentary.
Yeah.
I would be reticent about that only because there could be something breaking down the line. We don't know. But, yeah, they are a good team. And what they did A&M the other day was impressive.
What about you?
I haven't sat down and I was too much driving, you know, but I'm probably going to put UCLA in it because I think UCLA's defense is really good. I'm going to go with teams that I think are well-rounded, that have great defense, that can, you know, I'm going to probably, you know, I have to look it over closely. But there's certain teams to me that have that Final Four flair to them. You know, and UCLA had a play-in, 2 years ago and got to the Final Four, which was remarkable. I think they have that kind of mental toughness to do it.
They just worry me because of the injury to one of their star players and, like, I mean, defensive player of the year in the league.
Yeah.
That was my one concern with them. But, I mean, all of the other pieces, obviously, are there. They had the heartbreaker in the Pac-12 championship to Arizona, so you know they're hungry. But it's one of those things.
Yeah.
Anybody, like you said it multiple times today. Anybody can win.
Anybody can.
I just need San Diego State to get to the Sweet 16. That's all I need. Okay.
Oh, okay. Good. Do you cash a ticket on that?
I'll cash a ticket on that, and I'll be like a happy alum.
There you go.
So awesome. That's what we need here. There were a few other things that have transpired over the last 24 hours in the NFL that I really wanted to get your opinion on. We've touched on it a number of times, but not in detail. That Mike White signs that contract to leave the Jets and go to the Miami Dolphins to be the backup to Tua Tagovailoa, who, you know, all reports are that the fifth-year option is going to be worked for Tua. And it's one of those things where we know how things went this past year with Tua and the concussions.
Yeah.
On paper, it's two. Certainly looked to all of us with eyeballs that it was three. And it's a scary thing. Like, I get nervous every game that I watched him come back this season, that it was going to happen again, that it's going to be his last time playing football and being a normal person.
No doubt. And you have to be worried about it. And I think, to me, they have so many great skill players. They've made the game easy for him with the yards after the catch and his ability to be accurate on short throws. But to me, when you break down the White deal, the White is who they wanted, Stormy. When you see what happens in free agency, when you sign a guy on the first day, that's the guy you targeted, right? Like, typically you don't. Like, the Giants wanted T.J. Edwards. They had a settle on the kid from Indianapolis. I can't say his last name, but they settled for the linebacker from Indy because they got left at the altar. But typically, you know, in this backup market, you know, Case Keenum goes to Houston, right? You know, Darnold immediately signs with San Francisco. Well, they were interested in him for a while. Same thing with Mike White. So they clearly targeted Mike White to be the guy. And they must feel comfortable enough in the way they did the contract to where if Tua went down for an extended period, they feel better than they did with Teddy Bridgewater or anyone
Skylar
else.
Skylar Thompson.
I mean, who they think actually had some chances. Skylar had a chance to be a good player, you know, last year, but he was a rookie, which I kind of feel like he still can be their third. But to me, this is who they wanted.
That was kind of my thought when I was just thinking about that playoff game and Skylar Thompson's in there. If Mike White's in there, they probably win that game.
Well, if they run the ball, they could win the game. I mean, he was calling passes like all of a sudden Skyler was a 20-year veteran. I didn't understand it. I mean, I keep saying this about Mike McDaniel all the time, is he comes in with this reputation of being this incredible run game coordinator, and they threw the ball all the time. Like, I get that you have great players like Tyreek Hill and Waddle and all that, but to me, you're into Buffalo and what we saw Cincinnati do to Buffalo. Even Zach Taylor ran the ball against Buffalo. So, you know, help your quarterback out. Give him a chance to be more effective. It's what the good teams do. You know, this whole notion about Mike McCarthy saying, I want to run the ball, when what I call Kellen Moore joystick, because he's playing Madden in his basement. You know, he just wants to call passes all the time. Well, there's a part about slowing the game down. It's not about, you know, these people on Twitter, these analytical people, well, you can't run the ball to score. Yeah, I get that. I get that. I understand that. I don't want to run the ball to, I know you got to throw it, but you got to control the pace of the game too. You got to be able to get the game in your favor in terms of pacing. And that's something the Cowboys hadn't done under Kellen Moore. They won't do it with the Chargers this year. They'll just keep throwing it like they did because they won't put any emphasis in running it.
Because you mentioned the Chargers, what did you make of the report from Schefter this week that Austin Ekeler was requesting permission for a trade?
Well, I mean, look, if you're Austin Eckler's agent and you see McCaffrey has makes $16 million a year and you can do everything McCaffrey can do, maybe just as good. How much difference is there between Christian McCaffrey and Austin Ekeler? I don't think there's very much. He's a great route runner, catches the ball incredibly, can run inside, can run outside. And this is a dynamic player. However, to me, why he's a great player is when you have another back with him. If they would have signed, and I kept saying this all year on the GM Shuffle, if they signed Lamont Murray or if they signed a guy like Mark Ingram, a player of similar stat, a guy to alternate. What makes San Francisco so effective is they can substitute without substituting. So they can take McCaffrey and make him a receiver. They can take Debo and make him a running back. They can take anyone and move him around. And so they can take Kittle.
Players,
yeah. So they're in a base formation and you got to defend everything. And that's what Ekeler gives you too. That's how you become an elite offense in the NFL. But when you have to substitute or stay in one personnel group, so we're an 11 team, then you've got to be really good. You got to be really good. But when you can move pieces around and Ekeler gives you that chance, like Ekeler, I would like if he went to the Rams, what McVay would do with him would be incredible. Like, he's really good, but he sees this market and he's underpaid.
Yeah.
And if the Chargers let him walk away, they'll lose a lot in the red zone scoring, and they'll lose a lot in terms of their passing game with the back. Remember, the back, the running back makes the spread. The running back is the point guard to the spread. If you have a great back back there that can do multiple things, like Josh Jacobs, can catch and run, all of a sudden the receivers are really have a better chance. But when you just have a runner, Henry, or if you just have Foreman, then everybody plays the run and it becomes a little bit easier to defend.
When it comes to like this running back market right now, you have Ekeler and him seeking a trade, the talks about the Titans maybe shopping Derrick Henry, Miles Sanders, a free agent, leaving the Eagles. Like, there are a lot of names out there.
Yeah, and the backs aren't, the market isn't there. Madison, you could get Madison if you just have a starting job. Like, if the Chargers wanted Madison, he would sign a reasonable contract for him. He just wants a chance to compete. They're talking about trading Dalvin Cook to Miami. They're talking about doing some things. Look, Tennessee's going through a great metamorphosis. They're trying to change their team. You can get Kevin Byard, the safety, who makes $14 million a year for the next 2 years at $28 million. They don't want to pay that. They want him to take a pay cut. They'll trade him if they could. But there's so much going on behind the scenes that I think today's slow volume of things that are happening is a lot because the market isn't there. And if it stays this way today, because there's been a lot of players got overpaid, I think you'll start to see more action tomorrow.
I hope we do, because I was expecting some breaking news to come on the show today.
But people are, like, I got a text from a GM here. Like, they're laughing at some of these. Like, McGlinchey's contract, people are laughing at that.
Really?
Well, yeah, because who, you know, like, I know Denver was competing with, you know, they were competing with the Bears for that deal. So that's all the agents want. It just takes two teams. It doesn't make it smart.
It's just, you just need somebody to counter so that
somebody
you can drive it up.
Exactly,
yeah.
Right.
There's that saying that, like, you're not going to get what you deserve necessarily. You'll get what someone will pay.
That's right. And all you need are two. See, people think there's five teams involved in a free agent. Usually, never. It's usually one, maybe two.
Michael, I completely was under the impression we had another block, that we could just keep going. This show has gone by so fast.
That's so good. Thank you, Storm. It's been great.
Awesome.
It's good to be here.
Awesome. First time in person. Appreciate you. We'll be back tomorrow. Same time, same place. Don't miss it. But that's a wrap for us today from Circuit Resort and Casino. Keep it locked, though. Great things coming up on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, as everybody's breaking down all things March Madness throughout the day.